Before I do the reading and the sermon, I'm going to give my standard disclaimer. I'm Chris. I'm non-binary. I try to avoid pronouns. I am the vice moderator here, not the pastor. We have other better preachers, but I've been here 55 years, and they humor me by letting me preach once every year or two. If you're here for the first time, thank you for taking a chance on us. And please come back again when somebody else is up here. I've been told I have a tendency to talk fast and mumble. I'm going to try to speak loudly and slowly. If you can't hear me, yell. Good. See, that's the kind of feedback we need. Better? All right. Also, the opinions expressed in the sermon are purely my own and in no way reflect any official church doctrine. Please don't yell about that. Sorry, one more thing. That is sort of a joke, but we don't have a lot of doctrine here, but if you see statements on a flag, on a banner, or on the front of your bulletin, this affirmation of faith that's on here, we are not, as Paul says, spiritual beings, and we do not execute perfectly on those ideas, but we do take them seriously. If you actively disagree with them, this may not be the right church for you, and please do not start yelling about them during the service, as someone did 2 weeks ago. That said, let us pray. God, I'm out here on my heretical limb to speak my unpleasant truth again. May my words be in your service and bring them more meaning than fear, discomfort, offense, and anger, regardless of my intent. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today's gospel reading is Matthew 5, 13 to 20, but I will not be reading that, because it's one of my least favorite parts of the Bible, and I am not that kind of Christian, and this is not the time. I will instead be reading from one of the older lectionary choices for today, which is Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. Before I do that, there is a Wikipedia entry for Deuteronomy, which I encourage you to read after you get home. The too-long, don't-read summary is that Deuteronomy was probably written over a 300-year span, around 600 years before Jesus' birth, while claiming to be an eyewitness account of events that may or may not have occurred approximately 1,000 years before it was written. This passage is therefore probably not a good text to be taken literally, but I am going to do that anyway. Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of God for the people of God. It would be very easy to preach a sermon from today's lectionary, centered on Matthew 5, that says, follow the law in the most extreme interpretation possible, rip out your own body parts that sin, or end up in hell. But hear the Deuteronomy again. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. There is nothing in this passage about individual salvation or damnation. The choice is life or death. Your DNA goes on, or it doesn't. Sirach 25:15-20 is also an option in today's lectionary, and it has a similar message. He has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Before each person are life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. So here's what I want to talk about this morning. We've been handed the fire and the water, and neither are great choices. California has been burning. Australia has been burning. The Brazilian government is intentionally burning the Amazon. The oceans are warming, rising, acidifying, overfished, and full of microplastics. Indonesia is flooding. Sources of drinking water are drying up and poisoned. Rain is more intense and concentrated. It is not clear how many more generations of descendants we will have. My question for today is, what does it mean to be Christians? More specifically, a church. More specifically, this church, if the end times are almost here. I do not ask this question as a disciple or reincarnation of my grandfather Purdom or of Jack Van Impe, explaining why every awful event in today's news was predicted in the book of Daniel, and therefore you should give money. I am not that kind of Christian either. I am speaking as a human with Facebook and Twitter access to real news and science publications, who has skimmed bits of the 472-page 2019 United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction Global Assessment Report on Disaster Risk Reduction. How many of you have read any? No? Okay. It says in the foreword, at no point in human history have we faced such an array of both familiar and unfamiliar risks, interacting in a hyper-connected, rapidly changing world. New risks and correlations are emerging. Decades-old projections about climate change have come true much sooner than expected. With that comes change in the intensity and frequency of hazards. End quote. And, quote, we are fast approaching the point where we may not be able to mitigate or repair impacts from realized cascading and systemic risk, particularly those due to climate change. End quote. The report predicts that the Paris Agreement targets will be passed in the late 2030s, and that, quote, if the 1.5 degree centigrade threshold is breached, the possibilities to adapt will diminish as ecosystem services collapse. Unable to support current economic activity and human populations, migration on a scale never seen before may be triggered, with people moving from arid and semi-arid regions to low elevation coastal zones, thus increasing risk. End quote. It also notes, quote, nonlinear change in hazard intensity and frequency is already a reality. Affecting the intensive and extensive nature of risk, climate change can generate more powerful storms, exacerbate coastal flooding, and bring higher temperatures and longer droughts. Emergent climate-related risks will alter most of our current risk metrics. Growth in death, loss, and damage will surpass already inadequate risk mitigation, response, and transfer mechanisms. End quote. I read a fascinating piece recently from New York Magazine by somebody who recorded her conversations for a year with people at parties about how they felt about the imminent collapse of civilization. I don't know how accurate her reporting is, but very few people she quoted questioned her premise. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm guessing humanity has another 10 to 15 years. Because the UN report as dire as it is, predates the unintentional burning of Australia and the intentional burning of the Amazon. Being a UN report, it assumes that governments are fundamentally benign and does not account for the rise of nationalism, fascism, and theocracy, the degree of power held by those who have interests in continued fossil fuel use, or the economic and social upheaval being caused by automation. That is not an easy belief to hold. I suppress it. I get on with my life. I go to work most days of the year, making money as a running dog capitalist, doing my part to automate jobs out of existence. I'm here on Sundays for worship. I serve the church as vice moderator. I make some art. I watch soccer. I enjoy my low-key hedonistic lifestyle. I suspect I'm not the only one here trying to suppress my fear of the future. We here are all to some degree in denial because most of us here are not on the cutting edge of failure. We have useful skills that haven't been automated yet. We talk about the environmental collapse like it's an intellectual problem for the future that human ingenuity will solve if we all pull together. For example, a Ninth Circuit court recently declined to hear a lawsuit over the federal government's failure to act on environmental collapse. One commentator who agreed with the plaintiff said the case would likely be cited in law textbooks for decades. If the plaintiffs are correct, we won't have decades more of law books. Deep down, some people know bad times are coming. Oddly, people who claim not to believe in climate change. And they're doing what humans do in bad times, resort to tribalism, kick out the people who look or act or believe different, enforce strict hierarchical social roles, let the sick die off, build walls to hide behind. All over the world, people are organizing and voting for hardline policies, for Brexit, for white Christian nationalism, for autocrats. I realize that if you're the kind of Christian who believes in a physical resurrection after life and you believe you are already one of the chosen, the end of civilization may not concern you. If you are the kind of Christian who believes human behavior controls the return of Jesus, you may actually be very excited about the tribulation. If you're a dominionist, you may see the coming chaos as an opportunity to establish a theocracy. Well, I know we have a wide range of Christian beliefs in this church, and I haven't talked to all of you about theology. I don't think any of those descriptions apply to most of you. I'm also very sure there are very few of you like me who are non-salvationist, total depravity, predestinationalists who believe in the universal Christ consciousness and a free love God. Fun fact, my mother, who joined TAB in 1957, had a master's degree in Christian education and wrote Sunday school curriculum for the Presbyterian Church and did not believe in an afterlife. Regardless of our many Christological differences, most of us here are progressives. We believe that the moral arc of the universe may be long but bends toward justice, and that God's kingdom can be built on earth. Our motto for many years has been to provide a sanctuary and to try to be an example, a diverse and inclusive community while working for long-term change. I was very confident after changing the ordination rules in the Presbyterian Church USA and the definition of civil marriage in the United States that we could concentrate on systemic racism and police brutality and solve those too. The globalist framework seemed indifferently benign and malleable and bending slowly in the direction of democratic socialism. My biggest fear before 2016 was Skynet. The last few years have changed my perspective completely. We have not come to grips with the impact of widespread automation on a capitalist economy. Nationalism is replacing globalism. Our government is rolling back recent gains in human rights and environmental regulation. Governments in general have failed to address environmental collapse. Fascism is on the rise, and we are living under a regime that claims to be above the law. Working within the system to advocate for change no longer feels viable, and the moral arc of the universe seems suddenly short. I ask you, Tabernacle, now what? What do we as individuals do and as a church? I can't answer the individual part for you. I can say that we need to stop suppressing our fear of the future so that you can clearly hear your call. Even if we go on with our normal lives, let's acknowledge where we are as a species and give each other a place to talk about that. Even if it's just at coffee hour. And when we talk, let's not get held caught up on our belief differences. I'm going back here to Corinthians. We heard earlier in the words of Paul, for when one says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? Many of you are working on doing your part to reduce carbon, and I applaud that. But also as a congregation, I recommend that we concentrate even more on our role as a sanctuary and as spreaders of love and good cheer for queer folks, for black folks, for immigrants, documented and not, for Spanish speakers, for the homeless, for the sick and hungry, for the neurologically diverse, for the Jews and the Muslims, for all the people who fit into more than one of those categories. I know I am called to work more with the outreach team, both on spreading good cheer at Pride and Outfest and offering food and clothing and time indoors at our community meals. We have air conditioning downstairs now and an easier elevator and hopefully a third bathroom soon with a washer and a dryer and a shower. These features are important, not just for Sunday accessibility, but because all the evidence says we are approaching a time of flood and fire and famine and poverty, when the government is not our friend, when the people who come here do not view the government as their friend, when people are here not just for worship, but because the government has failed them, and not just failed them, is actively oppressing them, has cast aside any goal or illusion of being benign and is no longer malleable. For many of us here, like me, who live in privilege, those who have worked within and reforming our governing institutions, that is going to be hard to grok. These are the divisions I worry about at TAB that I see creeping into our deliberations, not the many theological and Christological differences, but the differences between those of us who have faith in our institutions and those who do not, between those who live in privilege and those who do not. Because we are potentially going to view the coming tribulation very differently, as an attack on a good system that just needed some help, bending toward justice, or as the exposure and collapse of a structural evil that needed to be replaced. But to paraphrase Paul, if one of you says, I am a running dog capitalist, and one of you says, I am a socialist, and one of you says, I am a communist, and one of you says, I am an anarchist, are you not merely human? Despite these differences, let us as a community love each other. For to quote Paul directly, we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building.